Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and for this incredible vision of the future. Dear Lord, we pray that you would be with us this morning, that we would meet your Son Jesus, and that we would be changed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm really, really looking forward to next Wednesday when my holidays begin. Going to be away for 3 weeks, but in the first part I will be with my family in Fiji for 10 days. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'll be swimming in the pool, I'll be walking along the beach, I'll be eating the breakfast buffet, but I can't actually be certain it will be that good. My family may get sick. In fact, my two kids aren't at church this morning because they've got the flu. I may not be able to fly into Fiji if there's a coup, which happens every couple of years, or if there's a cyclone, which there was a few months ago. And the worst part is at the end of 10 days, it'll all be over. So I am looking forward to it, being with my family in Fiji for 10 days. But I'm actually really looking forward to dying. Let me tell you why. I will be with Jesus in paradise forever. And I'm really, really looking forward to that. What about you? Are you looking forward to being with Jesus in paradise forever? It will be better than you can imagine. It's guaranteed. Nothing can spoil it. What we've just read is that Jesus will return and he will make everything new, a new creation. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and it will be a paradise. In this new creation, there will be a new Jerusalem, a city. Also will be a paradise. What is this new Jerusalem that we've just read about? It's a holy city. It's also described as being the bride of Christ. It's the church. It's a picture of what the church looks like at the end of time. When Jesus returns, it's both a place and it's a people. It's a beautiful place and it's filled with people who are forgiven, cleansed, redeemed, loved, precious, who are wearing these white garments of holiness and righteousness. Well, let's have a little bit of a think about the future. It's helpful for us to just think back to last week and just remember kind of two categories of what the future holds. For us who are believers, we're going to live, die, and then live. For those who are not believers, we're going to live, die, and then die. What do I mean by that? If you're a believer in Jesus, you live your life, you die, and then you go to be part of this new Jerusalem, this paradise. You live there. If you're an unbeliever, you live, you die, and then you die again. In the lake of fire or hell. You can see that in verse 8. We talked about that last week. Let me encourage you to be a believer in Christ. Make sure that you are going to the new Jerusalem. That you will be with Jesus in paradise forever. Well, let's take a look at this new Jerusalem. Let me try and convince you. It's a picture here in John's vision of an incredible golden garden city. It's beautiful and it's glorious. It's precious. There are no impurities there whatsoever. If you just take a look at verse 9, one of the angels shows John what it is like. So in verse 9 he says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." 10, "He carried me away to the Spirit, to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal." It's an incredibly beautiful picture. If you flick forward to verse 16, the picture continues. "This holy city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. The angel measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length." That's the distance from Adelaide to Brisbane. "It's as wide and high as it is long. He measured the wall of the city. It was 144 cubits thick by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. It's a city made out of gold, and gold that is so pure, it is like glass. There are no impurities in it. It's glorious, it's brilliant with light. It's so mind-blowing to describe that he says, it's like this, it's like this precious stone, it's kind of like this, it's like this. I'm trying to give you a picture, John says. All I can say is, it's like this, but it's absolutely beautiful. If you're a believer, part of Jesus' church, this is the future. You will live, die, and then live in the paradise of this beautiful golden city. It's guaranteed, and nothing can spoil it. One of the most incredible things, though, in the city is this. God will dwell with us. God comes to us and lives with us and dwells with us. Just pick it up at verse 1. So I saw a new heaven, a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Incredible picture of God dwelling with us. When I was a single guy, I had a couple of great flatmates. They were really pretty good. They knew me. I knew them. They liked me. I liked them. But I wasn't perfect. That relationship with them, it wasn't fulfilling. I still felt lonely and misunderstood at times. I still spent a lot of time watching videos by myself. When I started going out with Amy, who's my wife now, actually, Blockbuster Video, who's around the corner from us, called me up and said, Matt, it's a Saturday night. Where are you? I'm a bit worried. Has something happened? I married Amy, and she is the best flatmate I've ever had. I'll say that. I know her. She knows me. I love her. She loves me. But it isn't totally perfect. It isn't totally fulfilling. I still feel lonely and misunderstood. But in the new Jerusalem, God will dwell with us. God, who is the God of the universe, will know me, and I will know him. God will love me, and I will love God, and it will be perfect, and it will be fulfilling. And it is that answer to that deep longing of intimacy that I have, that we all have, that is just within us, that intimacy, pure and total. God will dwell with us. The only perfect marriage is this picture we have of Jesus Christ and us being married to him, the church being married to Jesus Christ. The picture is us there, dwelling with Jesus in paradise forever. Another incredible thing that we see in the city is this. God will care for us. You see that in verse 4. It says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God will be personally caring for us. That's an incredible picture. We know Jesus has done away with our greatest pain. His death has conquered death for us. He's made all things new. This is what the future looks like. Old order of things has passed away. We will be cared for and comforted by him. Many of you know I was at a funeral a few weeks ago for a one-year-old girl. One of my best mates from college, the same age as us. They've got kids the same age as us, four-year-old boy, a one-year-old girl. And the kids were playing together near a ping-pong table, and table fell, collapsed, hit the one-year-old girl, and her heart failed. She died. And this one-year-old girl, little Charlotte, we're down in Melbourne at her funeral. It was a celebration of her life, really. She touched so many people in just 12 months. And they did this really incredible thing Of course, there was eulogies and videos, but they got different people in her life just to take an object that reminded them of her. And, you know, there's photos, and they have a couple of Japanese students who my friend did ministry with. They had a bowl and a chopstick because they used to have a meal together. And little Charlie used to have her own bowl and play with her chopsticks. And then she used to go to playgroup as well. And they brought out, one of the teachers just brought out her little backpack. I started crying. Little ladybird backpack. Just weeping and weeping. Of course, I'm thinking about my own little girl. I'm thinking about how sad it is, my friends. Just weeping and weeping. There's so many tears in that funeral. Everyone crying. My friends, Chris and Tanya, the parents, have wept and wept and wept. But here in the New Jerusalem, God will care for us. The promise is this: He will personally wipe every tear from our eyes. God will care for us. The promise is we will be with Jesus in paradise forever. And there's a warning here. Unbelievers won't be with God. They won't dwell with Him. He won't care for them. If you look at verse 7, it says, "He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God and he'll be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the worship of demons and the like, the idolaters, all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur." This is the second death. There's a warning here. The cowardly here is those who've given up on their faith. You know, faced with persecution, they've given it up. For the first century Christians who were attacked by the Roman Empire, this is very real. It's easier to stop believing. There's those categorized as unbelievers who have given up their faith as well. And those who have been polluted by the world, the vile. And of course, there's the rest there, murderers. Those who have nothing to do with God, sexually immoral. Practice magic arts, idolaters, liars. The destiny, the future for them, they're going to live, die, and then die in the lake of fire. But we also see this in the city. Very clearly, very starkly, in the New Jerusalem, nothing impure will be allowed in. If you look at verse 18, it says this: "The wall was made of jasper and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass." Verse 27, if you flick forward, says, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Nothing impure, no body who is impure will be in that city. There's a real warning there. The picture that we have, the description of this gold that's like glass, it's like a city is like a pure diamond. If you know anything about... Is Dan here? Dan and Chloe? No. I'll talk with Dan tonight. I remember about 8 years ago buying a diamond ring. You have to know certain things. You have to know the four C's. If you can remember what they are. The most precious, the most expensive diamonds are this. You've got to know the best cut, the best colour, the best clarity, and the best carat. That's the four C's when it comes to identifying a diamond. And this is really saying that the clarity of this city is incredible. There is nothing impure. This is what the vision is. The picture is nothing impure in the way that it looks, and no body impure is allowed in. The gold is like pure glass. Which are you? Are you in the Book of Life? Are you a believer? Are you wavering because it's too hard, or you have something better to believe in? The warning is here. Unbelievers won't be in. Won't be allowed in the city. But for believers, we'll be with Jesus in paradise forever. The final incredible thing is this: we can approach God. If you look at verse 22, it says, "I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it." For all the greatness that we see in this picture of the city, something's missing. The temple. Because the temple is not needed. The temple used to be where there was You know, the presence of God was, earthly speaking. You went there to serve and worship him, mediated through priests. But now the Lord God and the Lamb are the temple. God's presence is everywhere through the city. We don't need priests or mediators. In the New Jerusalem, we approach God directly and we serve and we worship him. And we also bring our best and greatest and we lay it at his feet. If you look at verse 24, there's this interesting line that the kings bring their splendor from the new creation. They bring their splendor into the city. Verse 26, the nations bring their glory and honor. We bring stuff that we've made in the new creation into the city and we worship God. If my son Lucas was here, if he wasn't sick, he would be at kids' church. And every week they make a craft based on the story. And my son would be making craft. He'd be giving his all to that. And at morning tea time, he would bring his splendor to me. Bring in that splendor. The greatest and best that he's used his utmost to create. He would bring it to it's his glory. In the New Jerusalem, we can directly approach God face to face, serve him and worship him when we're with Jesus in paradise forever. Well, the picture that we have of that city, of the new creation, is really, it's a picture of fulfillment. Because we gathered here this morning at the church, we have a picture of what it is like to be the church in the future, when it is completely fulfilled. The church here, it's a little bit like a black and white TV. That's how we see. Then we've got a picture of what it's like. High definition, 3D, LED. Because the reality is that God dwells with us now by his Spirit. He cares for us now with his love, and we can approach him directly in prayer. But then it will all be fulfilled. We will dwell with him face to face, and he cares for us. He will wipe every tear from our eyes. And we can approach him directly, so we can speak to him in praises and offer gifts. It's an incredible picture with an incredible promise. I just want to kind of look at that future, at the surety of that promise that is made. If you want to just think in the Gospels, you remember when Jesus was being crucified on the cross. When we see him there, there's an incredible exchange that happens. There's two criminals who are beside him on either side, and they're being killed as well. They're also crucified. Two men killed for their crimes. And there's this exchange that happens as Jesus is dying on the cross. One thief turns to Jesus and he says to him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." This man's only got a few hours of his life left. He's going to die. And you know what Jesus says to him? He says, "I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise." What does Jesus' kingdom look like? He says, "Remember me when you go into your kingdom. Remember me, please." Well, it's a picture of the new creation that we have in Revelation. It's a picture of paradise. And Jesus promises him. This picture of the new creation is where Jesus rules and reigns. It's where we can be with him. It's paradise forever. And actually, Jesus has just spent his life showing us what the kingdom looks like. Showing us what this new creation looks like. The kingdom where he is king. So, for example, in the new creation, there's no evil. There's nothing impure. And Jesus, in his life, spends time kicking out unclean spirits and demons. In the new creation, there's no sickness or illness. Jesus spent his time healing all kinds of sickness and the blind and the lame. In the new creation, everyone is forgiven. Remember the lame man whose friends, they brought him to Jesus and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven. I have the power to forgive sins, but I'll heal you as well." There's no more insignificance. We are known and loved in the new creation. And Jesus spent his time, you remember there's an exchange where he says, "Bring the little children to me. The little children matter to me. I'll bless them." And there's no more death in the new creation. Remember the story where Jairus came? His little daughter was very, very sick. And she died on his way to meet Jesus. And the servants came and they said to him, "Don't bother the teacher anymore." And Jesus said, "No, I'll go with you. She's not dead, but she's sleeping." And they laughed. They knew the little girl was dead and sent the mourners away, those who were wailing and weeping. He sent them away. He took three of his disciples, went upstairs to where the little girl was dead. And he just used his voice and he said to her, "Little girl, I tell you, get up." She went from being dead to alive and started walking around. That's a picture of Jesus' kingdom. It's a picture of the new creation. And it is sure and it is certain. But my friend Chris, with his little one-year-old daughter, was dying in his arms. He was saying to her, "Little girl, please open your eyes, wake up." But she died. The certainty and the sureness for my friend Chris and for that little girl is the next words she's going to hear. It's Jesus saying, "Little girl, I say to you, get up. Come into my arms. I want you to be with me in paradise forever." That's a sure and a certain promise. It's a promise of life. You see there in the New Jerusalem, the tree of life is there. If you look over in 22, the river of life talks about the book of life. It's all about life. Let me just end by saying, fill your heart and your mind with this picture of the New Jerusalem, with this church that is fulfilled, with this promise that Jesus is making to us. And let me encourage you to persevere and to be joyful. Let me encourage you to persevere as you follow the King. Don't be cowardly, as it says there. Don't fear, don't give up your faith. In the first century, Christians were being thrown to the lions. I have friends who are doing gospel work in North Korea. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. But here in Avalon, not facing the same kind of thing. Just persevere, don't be cowardly. Secondly, be joyful. As you fill your hearts and your minds with this vision, with this picture, be joyful. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried about the little things. I'm going to share a story with you finally. Many of you know George Halliwell down at Pittwater Palms. He celebrated his 98th birthday on Thursday. And on Friday, I went down to visit him and give him a card. And he read it and he laughed because it said, first it said, "Have a happy birthday and have a fantastic year." He just laughed. He said, "I don't know if I've got a year, Matt, but I had a great day. Have a fantastic year." And I was just talking to him about Revelation 21. And he told me this story. He said there's a girl that comes and she helps him out. She's medical staff and helps him to shower and that kind of stuff. 3 days a week. And he said that she's very anxious, very worried. And I say to her, "Hey, they're not things to be worried about. They're not things to be anxious about. That's 9 decades of wisdom there, 9 decades of experience." And he said, "I also share with her, we've got eternity to look forward to. When I think about forever, what are the things that really matter? What are the things?" "You're so worried about tomorrow." She told her, "Tomorrow might never come. It may never come." He said, "What's the worst that can happen to me? I'll wake up dead. And I'll go home. I'm nearing home," he said, "and I'm gonna go home. Every day I'm closer." Let me encourage you to be filled with that same joy that George Halliwell has. Don't be anxious about the little things. As a church, let's be filled with joy. I'm really looking forward to my holiday in Fiji next week. But I'm really, really looking forward to being with George, to being with you, to being with Jesus in paradise forever. Let's pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.